Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. So good to see you all through the screens, on your smartphones, on your devices, on your computers. It is a blessing to be before you this morning. I'm Pastor Cameron Logan, youth pastor here at Christian Faith Fellowship Church Zion, and we are excited that you are joining us this morning for our Sunday morning live broadcast. We are live on Facebook, our website, cffczion.org, Boxcast, YouTube. You can catch us on every social media platform there is. We greet you in the name of the Lord. Can we have a word of prayer before we go forth? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you for showing up in your house as you always do. God, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Now have your way in this place, God. Use me for your glory. Let chains be broken. Let curses be broken. Let lives be changed and come into the knowledge of the truth everywhere. Let people understand who you are. Let people have a better understanding of who you are after this service, after this message, after this word. God, reach people where they are, in their homes, in their kitchens, in their bathrooms, in their vehicles, wherever they may be watching. God, touch them. Let the anointing hit them. Let the power of God hit them like never before. Now, God, I pray that you would speak through me with clarity, understanding, and anointing. Have your way. I decrease so that you may increase. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, we give you greetings. Our pastors and bishop here is Bishop E. James Logan and Pastor Deborah Logan. And in their absence, I'm standing in the gap to provide a message that I believe that God truly wants the church to hear today. But you know how we do. Before I go forth, I just want to sing a song of praise and worship. And the song simply says, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. Yes, God. Tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Lord, for you. Come on, stand up. If you're in your couch, if you're in the bed, come on, sing it with me. Lord, prepare me. Yes, God. To be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Lord, for you, oh, sanctuary, Lord, for you, sanctuary, Lord, for you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we thank you for preparing us, even during these times, to be a sanctuary. We set our agendas aside and we look to you from which cometh our help. Because God, you are a God that is a covenant-keeping God. You're a promise-keeping God. You set the rainbow in the sky to let us know an eternal promise that you would never do that again. So God, we know you're a God who's able to do exactly what he said he's going to do. We know that you're a God who's able. You're more than able. You're more than willing. You're more than able to do everything you said you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 All right, grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles. I don't want to be before you long. It's been a long time since I've been up here, and there's a lot that's bubbling up in my spirit, but I want to say exactly what God put on my heart to say. Amen. We're going to go to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. All right, ready, read. "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." The topic of today's teaching is wake up, church. Wake up. Earlier in the chapter, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Romans, and he's writing to the Roman Christians, describing what it means to live as a Christian on this side of eternity. Paul described a number of commands, many of which people believe were too hard to follow. But he painted a picture so eloquently. He painted a picture of a believer as one who sets themselves aside for the good of others and radically trust God to provide everything that we need. So now, as we get to verse 11, where the Apostle Paul tells us why it is so crucial for us as believers to live in this way, it's important to understand it's essential because time is of the essence. Time is of the essence. The world is changing all around us, just like it was in that day when the Apostle Paul was speaking to the different churches and to the different congregations of people. This message applies to us today. We need to be radically awakened. We need to be shook by the shoulders, grabbed by the collars of our necks, so that we as the church can wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to arise from our slumbering and our sleep and our drowsiness, and it's time for us to wake up. I dare you right now in the comments just to type, wake up, wake up, wake up. And if you're somebody in your house is still sleeping, just shout real loud, wake up. It's time to wake up. The sun is rising. The sun rising is a metaphor for not just the physical sun rising, even though that is true, but is a metaphor as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rising and coming and getting closer and closer to his second coming for this day and this hour. See, back in that time, the workday was defined by the sun rising and the sun setting. So if you knew you were about to be late, you can tell by when the sun was beginning to rise and you were still in the bed. See, many of you may be like me. As soon as the light hits your eyeballs, you're awake. And others of you, you hit the snooze button several times just to get an extra 30 minutes, an extra 15 minutes of sleep. And that's what I believe many in the church have done. We've hit the snooze button on the sun rising. It's time for us to get up. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to get to work. Christ's coming is near, and it's approaching faster than you may believe. So we as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to prepare for his coming. Our bishop, the pastor of this house, has been preparing us with powerful messages talking about what we need to do as the body of Christ, what we need to be prepared for during the rapture, after the rapture, before the rapture, understanding, giving us a deep understanding of all of these things. Because it's time for us to wake up. The hour has come for us to get back to the book. We have to get back to preaching what's in the Bible. We have to get back to preaching that Jesus Christ is coming. We have to get back to preaching and proclaiming and prophesying what thus saith the Lord. Because biblical prophecy is coming to pass. The Amplified Version reads Romans 13, 11 like this. It says, do this, knowing that this is a critical time. It is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep of spiritual complacency. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. The night, this present evil age, is almost gone, and the day of Christ's return is almost here. So let us fling away the works of darkness and put on the full armor of light. Verse 13 says, let us conduct ourselves properly and honorably as in the light of day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility, not in quarreling and jealousy, church, but clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for, nor even think about gratifying the flesh in regard to its improper desires. Church, we have a responsibility to live honorably. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How can people see our good works if we aren't living honorably? I've seen many on social media profess to be Christians and say they don't believe the Bible. Profess to be Christians and say they can live however they please. Profess to be Christians and say that they don't believe what the Bible says to be true. How can we as the church allow these things to continue? Sorry to break it to you, my brother or my sister. If you profess to be a Christian, to be Christ-like, that's what that means. If you profess to be Christ-like, but you don't believe his word, you're not a Christian. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 through 8 in the Amplified Version says this, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. This is why it's important for us to wake up. It's strange. It's not normal for humans to sleep during the day as if it was night. Because why? The Bible says we are children of the light. You are sons of light and sons of day. We do not belong to the night nor to darkness. So then let us not sleep in spiritual indifference as the rest of the world does. We are the church. We have to have something that separates us from the world. But let us keep wide awake, alert, and cautious, and let us be sober, self-controlled, calm, and wise. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who are drunk, get drunk when? At night. But since we are believers, we belong to the day. Let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope and confident assurance of salvation. Church, we've got to equip ourselves with the Word of God. We've got to eat this daily bread. We've got to indulge ourselves in the knowledge of God. We've got to take time out of our day, out of our not so busy schedules anymore, to dig into the Word of God, to spend time in the Word, to spend time in prayer, to equip our families, to equip our loved ones, to let people know around us. If we are believers, we have a responsibility to let those who are connected to us, who are our assignments, who are our friends, who are our associates, to let them know that Jesus is coming soon. And it's time to wake up. See, this part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 distinguishes between children of darkness and children of light. Children of light can look forward to the rapture with hope because we know we're not going to experience the trials and tribulation. The children of darkness, they must look for hope for the day of the Lord that is to come. So in this verse, Paul himself and the Thessalonian Christians, he describes and identifies them as children of the day. He affirms that they are not of the night or of darkness. The Thessalonian Christians were once in the dark to spiritual matters, but the Holy Spirit came and shone the light of the gospel into their hearts, and they believed in Jesus, who is the light of the world. The word sleep here in the Bible is metaphorically used and speaks about spiritual dullness, speaks about sloth or the lack of watchfulness. You can find countless scriptures in the Bible, and even as the disciples went with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and they began to fall asleep, they were spiritually incompetent at that moment. They were not spiritually aware of the time in which they were in, the severity of the time, the cruciality, if that's even a word, the crucialness of the time. We have to be aware of the time. We have to be sober-minded. We can't be lax in our judgment. We can't be lax in how we go about accomplishing the things of the Lord. We have to be ready. We have to be alert. We have to be awake. In Isaiah 29 and 10, and frequently in the New Testament, you can find in Mark chapter 13, Romans 13, Ephesians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, some of these scriptures we've already read, but sleep is used to describe spiritual heaviness, a spiritual heaviness that must be shaken in order to remain awake in this evil time. Have you been looking around? Have you been paying attention to what's going on in our world and the political society, in the health society, in the church? What's happening during this time? We need to be alert and aware. Sleep is often used in the end times logical context, warning us to be alert, warning us to be alert of the time. This is not the hour to be sleepy in the spirit. Bishop preached last week about the competence of the believer. This is not the time to be an incompetent believer. This is not the time for you not to know what to do during this hour. This is not the time for you to be a believer and you don't know when you should pray. You don't know when you should fast. You don't know when you should reach out to someone. You don't know when you need to call on Jesus' name. You don't know when you need to go before the Lord in prayer and supplication and just bask in his presence. This is not the time for us to be distracted. I'm reminded of my brother, Pastor Donnell Colbert, who used to tell us, and he used to sing this song, he used to say, this is not the time to be distracted. This is not the time for us to not be aware of what's going on. Such a crucial time. And Isaiah goes on to say, and I'll be finished here soon, Isaiah 29 verses 9 through 13 in the Amplified version. I just love the way it's put here. It says, stop and take some time and wonder at this prophecy. This is the prophet Isaiah. Blind yourselves and be blinded at its fulfillment by your own spiritual incompetence. They are drunk, but not from wine. They stagger, but not from strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He's speaking to believers. He has closed your eyes, you who are the prophets, and he has covered your heads, you who are the seers. The entire vision of all these things will be to you like the words of a scroll that is sealed. which they give to one who can read, saying, "Read this, please." He shall say, "I cannot, for it is sealed." Then the book will be given to one who cannot read, saying, "Read this, please." And he will say, "I cannot read." Then the Lord said, "Because this nation approaches me only with their words and honors me only with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me is a tradition that is learned by rote without any regard for its meaning." This is not the time for us who are believers in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be blinded by the Lord because we refuse to listen to the man and woman of God, the prophets, the seers, those who have been trying to warn us for the things to come. This is not the time for us to not open up the Bible, open up the Word of God and read it. This is not the time for us to be given the Word and say, "I can't read. I can't see it because it's sealed." This is not the time for us to honor God with our mouth. "Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, God has been so good to me." Oh, you can quote John 3:16 front to back, but you're not living what the Word says we should live. It's time out, church, for hosting our events and putting more emphasis on our events than we do discipleship. This is not the time for you, young preacher, old preacher, to try to focus on advancing your platform more than advancing the kingdom of God. This is not the time. Church, we need to wake up. The Bible says the earth is groaning. Look around you. Our downtown cities look like movie screens, movie scripts, movie scenes. Things are happening that we never thought would happen. But those of us that have been reading our Bible know that nation will rise against nation. It's going to get worse until Jesus comes. So we have to be equipped to know what to expect during these times and how we as the church should respond. What should our response be? There's a song that says, "My response is hallelujah. You're my redeemer. You're my salvation, God." I know it may look crazy right now. I know you may be in a tight situation. I know you may have been furloughed for 6 months, for 3 months. You may not have a job right now. Money may seem tight. It doesn't look like you may get your job anytime soon. You may not be able to go back to the office until the end of next year. But we as the church have to wake up. The church was rebuked several times in the scriptures. And this particular rebuke is coming from Isaiah because he's condemning their religious formality. We love our traditions. We love doing things the way we've always done them. And we don't want to change them for the betterment because we've always done it like this. But the prophet Isaiah's telling us to wake up. He's rebuking the people that are in Jerusalem. They called it Ariel, or Jerusalem, which was the city which David dwelt, pointing that their empty religion would not stop the judgment of God. But the church at that time refused to take heed to the warnings of the prophets, refused to take heed to the word of God coming from the man of God. They were spiritually incompetent. They were spiritually asleep. They were slumbering and they were drowsy. And Isaiah is continuing to warn them. But he says they acted as drunkards. But he says they weren't drunk from wine. They weren't drunk from alcohol. They were spiritually drunk. So God gave them up to their own hardness of their hearts because of their spiritual incompetence, the spirit of deep sleep. In the New Testament, sleep is described as someone who's not aware. Someone who's spiritually unaware of what's going on. Spiritually blind, if I could say that. Just spiritually dumb to the things that are going on. Not trying to offend you. I'm just trying to get my point across. You have to understand, this is not the time to be dumb. There's too much information available for us to be dumb in the natural and in the spirit. There's too much information available in the Word of God for us to be spiritually dumb. And God has allowed some of you to go into a deep spiritual sleep. Because you refuse to accept the warnings. And this sleep is an unawareness of your surroundings. This sleep is an unawareness to the things of God. This sleep has caused you to be blind to the things of God. You can't see a move of God. You can't see miracles, signs, and wonders because you're spiritually asleep. Church, hear me today. As I get ready to close, hear me today. We have to eat the Word of God. We have to meditate on this word. We have to study our word. We have to worship. We have to obey. And we have to pray like never before. We have to pray without ceasing. We have to pray on behalf of this country. I know many people believe, oh, the church has been doing enough praying and praying ain't got us nowhere. That's because the wrong people have been praying. They've been professing that they love God, but their hearts are far from Him. We need the new generals of this generation to rise up. God is looking for you. God is counting on you. God has been waking you up in this spiritual time slot from 3 to 5 a.m. God has been visiting you with dreams and visions. I feel the presence of the Lord. God has been trying to get your attention because God wants to raise you up. God wants to use you as a voice and a vessel for this time and for this generation because you have the ear of the people. You have influence. You have power. You are more powerful than you believe. And the enemy has been trying to attack you. And you've been battling between the spirit realm and the world, but God wants your heart today. Don't be so caught up in what the world has to offer you. Don't be so caught up in what the world tries to entice you with. Don't be so caught up in what the enemy is trying to put before your plate, because those things shall pass away, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Bible says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but God's word will stand forever. Stand on the word of God and do what it is that God has called and commissioned for you to do. Rise up, stand boldly on the throne of grace and get the mercy and grace you need so you can profess God is Lord. You can profess that Jesus is coming back. You can profess that righteousness is right. You can profess that holiness is right. You can profess that salvation is near. You can profess all the things that God has called you to. God wants to raise up prophets. God wants to raise up seers. God wants to raise up new teachers. God wants to raise up new apostles. God wants to raise up new bishops. God wants to raise up new pastors who will not put their agendas before His. It's time to wake up, church. Young people are leaving your church. Young people are leaving your ministries. Young people are even leaving the faith because we've played with this thing for far too long. When will we sit down and count up the cost? When will we sit down and look at some of the souls that we neglected? When will we look at some of the people that we could have brought closer to the kingdom of God? When will we look at the things that we could have done differently because we wanted to have church? We've got to wake up. We've got to get back to the book. We've got to hide God's word in our hearts. We've got to meditate on God's word day and night. Because Jesus is the only answer. Jesus is the only solution to the problems that you have. It breaks my heart to know that people have been turned away from Jesus because of wrong church. People have been drawn away from Jesus because of bad theology, bad doctrine, malpractice. Whew. Preachers, if you're in the pulpit and you're not preaching Jesus, it's a malpractice. You'll be held accountable. It is our job, it is our duty to preach Jesus. I love the song that says, He will hide our words, we will hide His word in our hearts. We must write the word on the tablets of our heart. We have to etch it in, tattoo it in. Not necessarily a physical tattoo, but we have to have that word so deeply rooted on the inside of us. It reminds me of the book of Eli. I'm not trying to pub or provide press for the book of Eli, but he guarded this book as if there were words written in it. And once he got to his final destination, after he had endured all hell that went through, he was able to write and speak every word that was in the Bible because he had it in his heart. We have to do the same thing. We have to hide God's word in our hearts so that we can be aware of the times. I pray that you hear me with your spiritual ears. I pray that something on the inside of you begins to wake up. I pray that something on the inside of you begins to break, and your hunger and your thirst for righteousness and God's word begins to grow. You begin to have hunger, a bubbling up on the inside of your belly for a hunger for the things of God. And you've been comfortable with your little 5-minute devotions. You've been comfortable with your little Bible plans that you do that you catch every here and there. But God wants you to go deeper. God wants you to dig a little deeper. It's so necessary for these times. I pray this message blessed you. I pray this message helped you. Now, if you're not saved, you want to be saved, you've heard about the kingdom of God, you've heard that Jesus is coming back, but you don't necessarily know what that means, I just want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord, come into my heart. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and he rose again on the third day with all power in his hands. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is who he says he is. I believe that the Trinity is to be true. Save me. For I once was a sinner, but now I want to be saved by you. Come into my heart, create in me a clean heart, and renew in me a right spirit, so that I may worship you, so that I may know these things in the word. Make your scriptures come alive to me so that I can understand the times that we're living in. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you repeated that prayer, you're saved. Welcome to the kingdom. This is the beginning of some of the best days of your life. There are still tough times ahead. But we serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. We serve a God that's able. Now, if you could, we want you to text your support to the number at the bottom of the screen. We thank you for all the support that you all have continued to show us during this pandemic. And God has been faithful to do everything that he said he was going to do during this time. God bless you. God keep you. And I just want you all to take a moment and listen to this song that they're about to play, so that we can etch God's word in our hearts as we stay awake, alert, and alive. God bless you. Grace and peace. See you next time.
Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.